This is my fifth lesson on the subject of the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope they've been a blessing to you. So let's listen to lesson number 5. Scoot up your chair.
We needed someone who had experienced measles and had defeated the disease. We located such a person. We drew some of his blood, let the cells settle out, and injected the serum. The serum gave her body enough time to manufacture her own antibiotics. She overcame measles, not by her own resistance or her own strength, but as a result of a battle that had taken place previously within someone else. I just have to stop right here and praise my good Lord, because you know, I'm beginning to get it. It's beginning to seep into my mind exactly what God did when he shed his blood on Calvary. There is a sense in which a person's blood becomes more valuable. As Peter put it, his precious blood. It becomes more valuable and potent as the person prevails in the many battles with outside invaders. A second infection of the same type will usually do no harm. A protected person has been called by some doctors as having wise blood. Does this not shed some light upon the description that Christ, being made perfect through suffering, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted? We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with our infirmities, because he has suffered in all of our weaknesses. The blood of Jesus Christ has overcome. He went out of his way to expose himself to temptation, to encounter the stress and the strain that you and I meet every day, to gain this wise blood for our benefit. And the more I think of the blood of Jesus Christ, I keep returning to the modern procedure of blood transfusion. Obviously, Jesus and the biblical writers did not envision a Red Cross blood supply depot when this word was used. Blood transfusion has emerged as a kind of image of the Christian symbol, incorporating all of its meaning. I remember when I had my own experience with blood transfusion. I was working on a job in Austin, Texas, and it so happened that I fell and broke my pelvis bone. And during surgery to correct this, I lost 8 pints of blood. And there I lay on the table, blood oozing from my body. But because of the possibility of blood transfusion, I was saved. As I lay there bleeding from my abdomen, there was a nurse that infused in me the blood of another. My survival of that incident was not because of the skilled hands of the surgeons altogether, but it was because of the blood of another. When we come to the table for communion, we come with light breath and a weakened pulse. During the week, we catch ourselves doubting. We muddle along with our weaknesses, our repeated failings, our aches and pains. We are invited by Christ to his table to celebrate life. We experience the gracious flow of his forgiveness and love and healing. This is a word to us that we are accepted and made alive through transfusion. The Lord's Supper sums up all three tenses: the life that was and died for us, the life that is and lives in us, and the life that will be and will come for us. Jesus is no mere example of living. He is life itself.
If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.